Chapter 8. Nestrum, Mandeville Point. There was a slight increase in pressure as the airlock sealed, cutting off the landing bay from the chamber where Courland and Laurentis looked back through the window at the departing shuttle. The inner door opened with a hiss, revealing a sharply uniformed naval officer and two lines of arms men with shotguns held in salute across their chests, their faces hidden behind silvered anti-dazzle visors. "Lieutenant Gradov at your service." The officer clicked his heels and nodded his head. His hair was an unruly mane of blonde, and a moustache of the same drooped past his chin. Almost as tall as Courland, but far more slender, the lieutenant moved with easy grace as he stepped back and gestured for the space marine and tech priest to exit the airlock. "Welcome aboard the Achilles."
"Gradov,"
said Courland as he stepped into the corridor. Fully armoured, he filled the main passage of the small patrol ship. At a bark from their sergeant, the armsmen slapped hands to shotguns and turned to create a column on either side of the arrivals.
"I'm from Ranismut II. It's something of a traditional name there," explained the ship's commander.
He noticed Laurentis turning the other way, heading aft.
Excuse me, Magos, but your quarters are this way."
Laurentis did not stop or turn around, but the remnants of his head swiveled on his neck bracing to face the lieutenant with a battery of sensor lenses and one unblinking human eye.
"I wish to make inspections of this vessel's warp engine systems and plasma reactor. Captain Courland is an exceptionally valuable asset that cannot be endangered by any oversight of maintenance or execution."
"I assure you that my tech priest, Cahibar, is highly..."
"Your ship is too small to qualify for a tech priest of Magos level and attendant support servitors. Therefore, I am superior in respect of your current engine seer. Do not feel any insult on his account. He will understand the situation."
"I insisted,"
Courland said quietly. This argument seemed to forestall any of the lieutenant's objections, and Gradov visibly wilted.
"Very well. I hope that all is in order, Captain Courland."
Gradov rallied, falling back on an overly stiff and formal tone to bolster his confidence.
"I shall convey you to your quarters." "The bridge, if you please, Lieutenant," said Courland.
The Space Marine started walking towards the prow, forcing Gradov to jog to keep up, despite the officer's long legs.
The bridge is for naval officers only," Gradov said. "Standing regulations, I'm afraid."
Courland stopped, and Gradov almost ran into the Space Marine. The arms men came to a halt around them, bumping into each other in a clatter of carapace-armored breastplates and vambraces. The Imperial Fist carefully placed a hand on Gradov's shoulder.
"I asked out of politeness," said Courland. "Do not make me insist."
Gradov looked into Courland's eyes, perhaps seeking some hint of compromise or sympathy. His gaze met two grey points as uncaring and sharp as pieces of flint.
"I see."
Gradov glanced at the men around him. Any authority he might have hoped to keep was quickly evaporating, like the sweat that now moistened his brow. He swallowed and drew himself up to his full height, impressive against the armsmen, but ineffective when compared with Courland's bulk.
"As commanding officer, I extend an invitation to you to accompany me to the bridge."
"Good. I'm happy to accept your invitation."
Gradov dithered for a moment, shifting from one foot to the other.
"Honor guard, dismiss,"
he barked, catching the sergeant of the armsmen by surprise.
"Sir, you heard the command, sergeant," Gradov said evenly. "I am sure Captain Courland does not need a gaggle of armsmen following him around at every turn."
"Yes, sir,"
snapped the sergeant. He called his men to offer honours once more before they turned on their heels and marched back the way they'd come.
"I would appreciate it, Captain," said Gradov when they were out of earshot, showing genuine anger, "if you would at least pretend that I am still in command of my own ship. Once you have been taken to the Sol system and departed, I must still maintain discipline. You are undermining my authority. My orders permit me to restrain you if necessary, but that would be inadvisable for both of us, wouldn't it?"
"It would," said Courland.
He bowed his head to acknowledge the lieutenant's request.
"Apologies for any problems my behaviour may have caused."
Mollified, Gradov once again clicked his heels and nodded in salute. He turned and led Corland along the main passageway of the ship, 200 feet, to a set of steps that led up to a pair of hydraulically locked doors. Two arms men flanked the portal, which wheezed open at a word from one of them. Corland followed Greydove inside. He noted two other officers, one manning the communications panel and another standing beside what appeared to be the sensor and weapons controls. A row of small screens flickered at waist height, and altogether the bridge felt cramped, in marked contrast to the chapter vessels on which Corland had travelled for most of his life. The Space Marine stooped slightly to avoid banging his head on the pipework and girders that crisscrossed the ceiling.
"Sir, I've been getting complaints from..."
The communications ensign fell silent as he noticed the armoured giant now standing in the middle of the command platform. The young officer self-consciously cleared his throat and continued,
"Engine Seer Kahiba is complaining about a surprise inspection, Commander. I have no idea what he's talking about." "Sir, we are registering an acceleration in the warp engine conduits," said the other officer before Greydove could respond to the first. "It looks as though our warp engines are coming online."
"I gave no such order," said Greydove. "That would be Magos Laurentis, I believe."
Corland's voice sounded loud and flat in the close confines. He looked at the sensor ensign.
"What range to the departing Adeptus Mechanicus vessel?"
20,000 miles and increasing,"
the ensign replied automatically, responding to the raw authority of the Space Marine captain. The naval officer glanced at Greydove for reassurance.
Commander, we received no signal to prepare for warp jump yet."
"Lieutenant Greydove, please have your navigator report to the bridge,"
Corland said quietly, standing beside the ship's captain.
"Why would I do that?"
"Because you have a change of orders, Commander," Corland said.
The shrill whine of a warning siren cut off the lieutenant's response as red lights flashed across the bridge.
"Sir, warp engines engaged!
30 seconds to translation,"
barked a servitor just in front of Corland and Greydove.
"What upon the throne is that damned tech priest doing?"
the ship's commander demanded, turning on Corland.
"A change of plans, Commander. I am taking command of your ship."
"You can't do that."
"I already have.
Magos Laurentis is activating the warp drive, and I am currently standing on the bridge giving the orders. Which part of this scenario suggests to you, Lieutenant, that I am not in complete control of the situation?"
Greydove opened his mouth dumbly a couple of times, searching for an answer. A desperate look creased his face.
"Don't make me assemble the arms men, Captain,"
the lieutenant said, trying to sound stern.
"I will not think twice about killing your men,"
Corland said, uttering the words deliberately and slowly so that he would not be misunderstood.
"There is some chance that your men may succeed in pacifying me sufficiently for my return to Terra. They will not be able to do so without significant casualties."
The Space Marine tried to reassure Greydove, taking the lieutenant's arm in a gentle grip.
"I intend no harm to this vessel or its crew."
Corland straightened, but did not turn as he heard the distinctive snick of a holster being unfastened. He looked Greydove in the eye.
"Tell your ensign to secure his pistol, otherwise I will be forced to take it from him."
Corland heard an exhalation, saw a slight nod from Greydove, and then, using the dim reflection on one of the communication screens, watched the officer fasten the holster once more.
"Good. We should avoid any rash actions at this moment."
"Translation in 5 seconds,"
warned the servitor monitoring the warp drive.
4, 3, 2, 1.
There was a lurch inside Corland as reality and unreality momentarily occupied the same space. Every atom of his being fizzed for a few seconds, and in the depths of his mind, somewhere near the base of his brain, a disturbing pressure forced its way into his thoughts. After 10 seconds, the sensation had passed.
"Translation successful,"
the servitor announced rather unnecessarily. Had translation not been successful, everybody aboard would know about it, or be dead.
I take it that you are not intending to travel to Terra," said Greydove. "That would be a waste of time, Lieutenant. The Imperium is under threat, and a suitable response is required. Honor demands that I continue the battle. I intend to rendezvous with my remaining brothers."
I
don't understand. I was led to believe...
Grey Dove dropped his voice to a whisper and glanced cautiously at the other men.
In greatest secrecy, that you were the last warrior of the Imperial Fists.
We call it the Last Wall Protocol. In the event the Terror should be under grave threat, perhaps even fallen, the Sons of Dawn will come together to deal with the matter as one.
But excuse the question. If you are all dead, who is there to respond?
The Imperial Fists chapter may have been destroyed, but the Old Legion will remember.
The Old Legion?
Grey Dove was horrified by the concept.
But the legions were broken apart by decree of the Emperor.
Not the Emperor,
snapped Corland, more harshly than he'd intended. He took a breath.
By Imperial decree, yes. But it was not from the lips of the Emperor that the decree came. It matters not. The signal has been sent, and I will wait for those who are fit to respond. But if you are not going to Terra, where are we heading? The last place our enemies would look for us. A place that lives long in the memory of the Legion. Tell your navigator to chart a course for the Fal system.